Welcome to a new edition of the Famous Interviews with Joe Domino series. On this episode, we talk with the author of the book called The Willing, Lindsay Lees. She is the self-published author of her debut, and it's a timely dystopian novel focusing on the atrocities of sexual slavery. She is originally from Los Angeles and holds dual citizenship in the United States and United Kingdom. She earned a BA in 2008 from Manchester Metropolitan University and an MFA in creative writing from the California College of the Arts. These days, she lives a quiet southern life in Nashville with her husband and a house full of pets. Enjoy this interview.
Hi, this is Lindsay.
Hi, Lindsay. It's Joe Domino.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Hey, I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. Hey, thanks for taking a minute out today.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Looking forward to it.
Talk to me a little bit about how you survived. I know being an author and writing during COVID was probably just an extension of already being at home. But how did you interact with COVID, you know? Now that we're coming out of it, how did you survive as an artist through that time?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess that in a way, everything was sort of put on the back burner. You know, I actually published the novel in June of 2021. So it was definitely when COVID originally hit, I was sort of I had just hired an editor. It was like the first month that I was working with her. So it was kind of an ideal opportunity in a way to just focus on getting the editing done and having the sort of time to commit to being at home and being able to go through pages and pages and pages at a time, line by line, getting through all of the fine details, the fine-tooth comb of everything, and getting it to a place where it was going to be publishable.
So it's a dystopian novel, and it almost seems as though America, since this pandemic started and we've come out of it, it almost feels as though there's a dystopian aspect to our society right now.
Well, there seems to be more of a totalitarian aspect, you know, where we as Americans don't feel like the government controls us. We have inalienable rights that God has given us, and when the government steps in and sort of decides what those rights are going to be, then we start to veer into a more dystopian sort of sense of society.
And the other theme is sexual slavery, correct?
Yes.
And I think that probably those two themes and that theme in particular seems to be rather pervasive with what's going on with our world right now, with a lot of Me Too things. There's just a lot of headlines that relate to all of that. It seems like it's a pretty timely topic for a book to be out there right now.
I think so. I think it's what has inspired the concept of the story is the idea that there are a lot of victims and a lot of abuse that goes discussed in the media and people aren't aware of. And so what is the potential outcome of a group of people who have been so severely abused and don't want to see that cycle of abuse continuing with their children or in their communities? And what solution could they come up with based on the effects that the impact of what they've experienced and how that would lead them to decide to make a sacrifice that would be so extreme.
And it's wild how the news cycle works, because you will hear about cases where, you know, there will be a ring that will be broken up and it'll be kind of a blip on the radar, but we get 3 weeks to a month of the melodrama known as, you know, the Johnny Depp trial. Like, it just seems strange how the media will cherry pick those things and tackle things that are just so trivial, like his court case, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you can't help but kind of get sucked into it because of the way that the media works. And if it's just, you're just bombarded with the information, then of course you're going to show an interest in it. So if there are issues that are affecting everyday people in a way that are just as severe but not being highlighted, then where is the disparity and why does that exist? Sure.
So you have dual citizenship in the United States and the United Kingdom. Are you from the UK?
No, my parents are. So they're both
okay.
British, and my dad lives there. Currently, he moved back there when I was a teenager. And so from that point on, I was kind of moving back and forth. I would spend summers there. And then when I was 15, I did high school. I spent a year of high school there and came back and finished high school here and then went back and competed to my undergrad over there. So there's been a lot of sort of back and forth and definitely influenced from both sides of the pond.
And how has that influenced the way that you view things? Being, I mean, the political structures are quite different. The way the societies kind of roll are
mm-hmm.
different as well.
Mm-hmm.
How do you take both of those worlds and meld them into how you live your life and see things?
Yeah, you know, I mean, in England, everything is much more socialist in a way. So they rely on the government in a lot of ways that we don't hear, and there is this sort of nanny state that's created over there where you know that you can really depend on sort of welfare programs, and the government is going to assist you if that's what you need or that's what you want, and there isn't as much of a there is a much more wider safety net for people to not take accountability for their lives, but in a way, you know, they don't have to have the same concerns and fears about where money for healthcare is going to come from and what's going to happen if you have a child with somebody and your spouse isn't able to support you in any way, or if you have no partner to help in that, then the government will step in and they will be that crutch for you. And so, I mean, that influenced my writing in a lot of ways as far as the characters in my story. They rely on the government to provide them housing and welfare and a living stipend, and that and that's very comfortable for a lot of people. And it's not necessarily wrong, and it's not necessarily right. And it's just about acknowledging, you know, what the effect of living like that that has.
So coming from Los Angeles to Nashville, was that kind of a culture shock?
You know, because I'm like Los Angeles, England, I've always been looking for that happy medium. And Tennessee has a lot of that. Just from the landscape and the sort of southern polite culture, and everything is just a little bit more friendly, and there's seasons, and it suits me down to the ground.
Right on. So it's very clear and evident that, you know, you have a BA and an MFA, and writing is your path. When you were growing up, was it always writing, or did you have any other dreams of what you wanted to do with your life?
You know, I mean, if I was smart, I would have been a lawyer. You know, like if I had any sort of real sense about what that creative, independent, starving artist lifestyle was going to be like, then I would have studied law and I would have, you know, been a lawyer. But it wasn't ever a passion in that sense. I mean, I like to argue and I could be confrontational, but I don't know. I have these concepts and themes and stories and characters, and once they sort of take root in my mind, then I need to put them out on the page. And once they're out on the page, then I can't just stick it away in a drawer and pretend like it doesn't exist. So I'll sooner pursue whatever path that takes me on, regardless of what the outcome is potentially, even though I'll work hard to try to be successful in this field, there's still no, you know, guarantees about it. So I definitely was writing a lot as a child. I was always creative. I was always very literary and into reading and sort of finding the stories that intrigued me and then trying to emulate, I suppose, in a way, what my version of a good story could be.
So what's your favorite book or author?
I'm a huge fan of mid-20th century American literature. So John Steinbeck is one of my favorites. I like George Orwell. I mean, he's British, but George Orwell. I like Harper Lee. I like J.D. Salinger. Those are probably the books that have influenced me the most and sort of inspired me and got me into reading at a young age, or at least reading to want to be a writer at a young age.
So who would you consider a hero? Who do you look up to?
Throughout my life, the answer to that question has changed quite a few times. Currently, right now in my life, which is more of a recent development, I would say Jesus. Jesus is not somebody who I grew up looking up to in a heroic way, but learning more about his story and understanding it through, not just through church or the Bible necessarily, but wanting to live in a way that honors Jesus is probably the most important person right now. Literarily, I'm George Orwell for sure. From a writing perspective, Aldous Huxley.
Well, that's a good list. That's a great answer. Let me ask you this: this is your debut novel, and I'm curious about fan mail or any feedback. What's been some of the best feedback, or something that really sticks out that you've gotten from somebody?
You know, I really love when people get it, and I'm fully aware that not everybody is going to get this story. People are going to look at it and think that I'm being reductionist, or that I'm trying to say something that is so out there or negative that it just sort of falls apart and doesn't make any sense. And I think that I've had sort of a mix of those kind of reactions, which I expect, but when people can identify with the character, can recognize where her path, the arc of her story, why her path ends the way that it does, and come out of it with a sense of not disappointment, but maybe just not feeling that it's fair, but understanding that the path is based on the circumstances that she's put in, then that's what I really appreciate and have seen that people are getting it, are seeing that's that it might not be the outcome that you expect, but that nonetheless, it still works.
You know, writing is not an easy thing to do, and to publish is pretty hard, I would think. And I'm curious if anybody listening out there is, you know, kind of on the fence about writing a book or putting it out, what advice would you give them?
I would say, for sure, to not give up, to try to get people to read the story that before it's published, get your beta readers, get the feedback, get some feedback, you know, take what you want, leave the rest, but be open to being fluid with the writing and making changes if that's what people lean towards, and finding good editor, and just, you know, be prepared to market the story, especially if you're self-publishing, being willing to expose yourself and show the world who you are and why you wrote what you wrote, being prepared for the sort of undertaking that entails is definitely going to set you up for more success.
So it's your debut novel. Let's say we talk in 5 years from now. What's going on? What are you looking forward to? What do you hope happens here in the coming years?
I would hope that there's more of a sort of an open discussion, a dialogue about sort of the dangers of ideological thinking, how there can be negative aspects to wanting things to be a certain way all of the time, and that policing and being rigid about the way that people think and the way that people and people's opinions and their belief systems, that we can't just expect everybody to think the same way, and what that looks like for future generations if we continue to limit how people think and what their viewpoints are. Yeah, and I mean, potentially I would like to see this story made into some sort of series. I think that would be kind of cool, seeing it brought to life potentially, and possibly a sequel. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see about that.
Well, yeah. Lindsay, thank you for opening up. I really appreciate your time and opening up about the book and your life that's led up to the publishing of this book. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to another Famous Interview with Joe Domino, where we cover the world of art, literature, and music around the globe. Most music on these episodes comes from Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes store. You can see these on the Neon Jazz YouTube channel. And for everything Joe Domino related, go to joedomino.com. And when you're there, you can donate to keep this going very strong into the future via Patreon or PayPal. Until next time.